for you, you know. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. As I was trying to figure out what to preach on, a lot of times we'll go to the book of 1 Samuel, talk about Hannah and how good of a mother she is, or Proverbs chapter 31, or maybe even talk about Timothy and his mother, and we may mention some of those things. But here in the book of 2 Kings, we see a situation, and I'm going to ask you to stand when you find it. Chapter 4, and I'm just going to read a couple verses here. We'll probably look at a lot of them, but just a couple to start with. We're here in this passage, we're going to see that there's a mother, and this mother, she's someone who has faith, and as she demonstrates that faith in God, she sees the blessing of God in her life. And I want you to know, as a mother today, if you will trust God for your life and your children's life, He will bless you. Now, the outcome may not always be what you expect or what you desire, but as long as you're serving God, the best outcome will be available to you. So as we begin reading in 2 Kings chapter 4, look at verse 8. I'm just going to read down to verse 11, and then we'll pray. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you so much for the opportunity to come here. We know that the reason we meet here this morning is because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, for the express purpose of finding out what your word teaches us, so again, that we might be able to apply it in our lives and use it, because we want to live for you. And Father, I just pray that you would bless everything said and done this morning, that you would guide and direct in the words that I share and the other activities that will take be taken on later. And I just pray you guide and direct in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. So here we see in this passage, it starts off and it talks about this woman. She's a Shunammite. And here it's talking about Elisha. And it's amazing when you look at the story. And we're going to look at all the story here in this chapter, starting verse 8. And we're going to just see how God works in people's lives. And God uses people. He uses you, and He uses me, and He uses others, and that's what He wants to do in our lives, but it requires that we are willing to follow Him, because the power we have to be available to be used of God, or to be a tool of God, resides in God Himself, and us looking to Him and following His direction. So here it starts off, it talks about a great woman. Now, this didn't mean that she was big, okay? It didn't mean that she was a king or a queen or whatever like that. It's talking about someone who was probably a little wealthy and had a good reputation, okay? And you can see it in other places when it talks about a person being good. That's generally what they're talking about. So she was someone who had maybe a little money and someone who had a good reputation. And she had seen Elisha come by many times, and she began helping him out. She was demonstrating hospitality and helping him as he came along. And it's interesting, the husband didn't think of this, but the wife did. And it seems like sometimes we husbands, we need to not take our wives for granted, because often they come up with some very great ideas, and this happened to be one of them. And she saw this fellow come by. His office came by. They fed him. And so she said, "Hey, I got a good idea. We got a little money. We got a little time. Let's build a little room off to the side for him. And so when he comes by, we'll have that for him." Today we might call that a prophet's chamber, okay? So anytime he came by and was going past this place, he would stop in and they would put him up for the night. And so she saw something in this man, and she saw that he was a man that was holy. Verse 9 says, "And she said unto her husband, Behold, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." So she had some discernment. She had some wisdom.
And Elisha was a holy man. He was a man of God, and he served God, and he desired to. And so when she saw this man, she realized that through his life, his testimony, that he demonstrated that he was a godly man. Again, that is something for all of us to adhere to and understand, that it's not the words necessarily that are so important that we say, but it's more important how we live. You see, people read how we act, our actions and attitude, more than they do our words. And so here, this man had that testimony. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 through 19. He says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that is that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire." So again, he making that statement, the Lord is saying that you will know them by their fruits. In other words, if you're a born-again Christian, there has to be fruit. Now, it doesn't say how much, and we're not going to preach that message this morning, but in John chapter 15, it talks about you can have some fruit, you can have more fruit, or you can have much fruit, okay? But if you're a Christian, there will be fruit, okay? Some fruit. Now, we may not even know what that is, but God does. And so here, this woman, she wanted to do something special for Elisha. So, again, they built this room for him. And they put in there a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick. And so he came by. In verse 11, we saw that when he turned in there, he stayed with them. So here was a great woman, a woman that has discernment, a woman who, through her wisdom, petitioned her husband. And again, that's the way women should handle those things, is petition or ask the husband. You shouldn't step out in front of the husband, go build a room and say, "Can I build a room?" You should ask him. And I think that's part of the relationship the Bible teaches us. And so she did, and they did. So anyway, then next we see a great gift. We're going to see a great gift. Look at verse 12. It says, "And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among mine own peoples." He said, "Hey, would you like me to speak to the king and tell him about you and who you are?" In other words, he was trying to honor her. He was trying to give her something and to share something with her. And she says, "No, no." You could see her humble spirit here. She was someone that didn't concern her. She didn't want any part of that. She says, "I'll just dwell with my own. I'll just be here with my own." So we can see this woman, not only she had some wisdom, some discernment, but she's also a humble woman. Okay? And so he goes on and read, so he's asking if there's something we can do for thee, and one of those things was to mention her to the king. In verse 14 he says, "And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old." So Gehazi, looking into the situation, he noticed that they didn't have a child, and he noticed that they were old. You know, usually those two things do not mix. Can anybody say amen? Any mothers in here want to say amen? And old is... I don't know that you can put a number on old, because, you know, the old statement is you are as young as you feel, and some are older than others or whatever. Last year I felt like I was 90. Now I feel like I'm 70, and I'm hoping to feel like I'm 60 pretty soon. So we'll see how that works out. But nonetheless, she was old, and that's a good situation. Why? Because those are the situations that God wants to prove himself. In those situations where people cannot do anything about the situation, just like Sarah, God dealt with her, just like Hannah, when she was without child. Now, she probably wasn't old, but she was without child, barren, and she went to God. And that's what God can do. And so here's a situation that is set up. And so he's basically saying there's nothing there. And I'm reminded in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the Bible tells us, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that? It's evident in your life and how you live, if you believe that. Nothing with God, or excuse me, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." So here we see this situation. And verse 15 says, "And he said, call her." So Elisha's telling Gehazi, "Why don't you have her come here?" And she did. And he says, and when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, so they're there visiting, maybe spent the night there. It says, and the woman conceived, verse 16. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, what are you talking about? I'm old. This isn't going to happen. It hadn't happened up to this point. So what are you talking about? There's no way. It's not possible. So again, she's thinking, as we would all think, that this is something that can't happen. But Elisha said, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Of course, she thought that either he was joking or lying or wasn't telling the truth. And then we see in verse 17, it says, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So as you look at this and you see this situation, first off, we see a woman that has some wisdom, some discernment. She realizes who the man of God is. She not only has wisdom and discernment, but she's a humble lady. And again, she doesn't really know and understand the power of God, just like we today sitting in this room do not understand the power of God. Not really. And here, she said, not so. This is not going to happen. You're lying to me. And the Bible says, in the season that Elisha said, she shall conceive. What did God do? He again did the impossible. Mom, He can do the impossible in your life. If you have a child that's not living for the Lord, I want to tell you, do not give up praying for that child. Do not stop him. If you have a child that's living for the Lord, do not stop praying for that child. Continue. Why? Because God will answer and can answer those prayers. And He can do the impossible in their lives as well. And we know that moms don't give up on their children. We understand that. And we're going to see that here in just a few minutes. But here we see this great woman. She's been given this great gift. And this is a gift. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I adorned thee, or ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. In other words, God knows. God knows the children you have before you even knew you had them. Before Jill even said, Millie, that she was pregnant, God knew. God knew all about that. Psalm 127:3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You see, a mother's love is important, and we're going to see as we continue this, we're going to see how that is, but mom is the one who is always there. You know, dads, for the most part, not so much today as it used to be, but dads went off to work, maybe it's in the field or wherever they went, mom was with the child, mom took care of the child, mom got up at midnight, at 2 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, and some of y'all shake your heads like you remember that, and took care of the baby and those things. And of course, that was their what they did. And they did it because they loved that child. And they were people, moms are people who will sacrifice. They'll give up things for their children. And it's evident if you just see those moms and see what they'll do. She'll be there for them no matter what. She makes sure they have what they need. If this is a God-fearing woman, she's going to take care of those children. And, you know, we see that demonstrated in 1 Kings chapter 3. We're not going to turn there, but Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he was a situation was brought to him where two harlots came to him. And you remember the story, both of those harlots, one had a baby, and then 3 days later, the other had a baby. And one of those mothers was sleeping with that child and laid on that child, and that child died. And so both of them were arguing because that one mother took the child that was dead and put it under the other mother, and she took the live child and brought it over to herself. And then when the mother woke up with the dead child, she realized, this is not my child. And so there was an argument. And so somebody had to make a decision what to do here. And Solomon, they went before him, and he told them, and he heard their story, and he said, get me a sword. And you remember the story. When he got the sword, they said, what are you going to do? Or he explained to him, so we'll cut the child in half and give one half and the other half. And one mother, she said, no, don't do that. Give the child to the other mother. The other mother spoke up and says, yeah, let's do that. Give half her and half to me. And Solomon's wisdom knew right away that the mother that was willing to sacrifice her child and give it to that other mother was the real mother, and she got the child. See, that's a mother. A mother's willing to sacrifice to save that child's life, even though she wouldn't have it, she'd rather it be alive. You know, that's the way moms are, aren't they? That's the way moms treat their children. They help them along. And, you know, mom is that one who carried you around for 9 months. I dare say there's not a man in this room can even understand that. Not really. I mean, you might have seen it happen. You might have been there for the 9 months. But to actually understand what's taking place in mom and how that works, I'm sure you saw the baby kick and move around, and you got the, but you didn't see it 24/7. You didn't carry that child and take care of it, and your body didn't change like the mother did. And there was a purpose for that. She's the one, again, that gave you most of your baths when you were young. She was there to take care of you. She made sure you were fed, dressed, secure. Really, her life, believe it or not, revolved around that child. And many of you mothers understand that. And we, as we grow up, we forget that mom is mom, and mom will always be mom. I think about my mom many times at this time of the year. I'm so grateful that later in life she put her faith and trust in Jesus, number one. But I remember all the things she did. She sacrificed so much for me. My parents were separated. When I was 15, I wanted a motorcycle. I mean, I really wanted one so bad. She went out and she got the money and bought me a brand new Honda 100. It's in my garage if you want to see it. Still got it. But I mean, I remember her sacrificing time and time again for whatever I asked for. And I wasn't a saved kid, and I was like everybody else, greedy. I wanted what everybody else wanted. I mean, I watched TV. I saw the commercials. Every commercial came on. I wanted one of those things too. And so she was always there to try to make ends meet and still satisfy my desires. Now, I'm not saying that's what we ought to do as mothers today. We don't want to give them everything they want. And we probably don't even want them watching TV to find out what's out there, because most of it's garbage anyway. But nonetheless, I can see in her someone who cared for me. And she loved me and cared for me. There were times, now she didn't get the opportunity so much, but she wanted to straighten me out many times. I've told you some of those stories. I remember one time, Mom, I made her mad. And I told you about the Oreo cookie episode. To this day, I do not like eating Oreo cookies that way. It's no fun. I remember making her so mad, and she said to me, I said, Mom, I want a cookie. She said, no, Mom, I want a cookie. We're having supper. Mom, I want a cookie. And she said a couple of words that I cannot repeat in this room at this time, and she said, get one. And I said, no. No, I'm not going to do that. What was I doing? I was rebelling. And so she was mad enough then. She went and got the cookie, and of course, I told you a story. She had me hand around my neck. We were on the ground, and she was shoving and grinding that Oreo cookie in my mouth. And that was no fun. I learned, don't mess with Mom. Mom was bigger than me. And if you saw her, you'd know what I'm talking about. And I remember times she would whoop me, and I deserved all of them, and she didn't give me enough, to be honest with you. But she was always there. She cared for me through everything. And I'm so glad that she accepted Christ as her Savior, because one day I'm going to see her again. And that's a wonderful thought as well. But moms are great. Here we see that this mom, again, she never thought she would be one, but now she is. She was given a great gift. But look at the great sorrow that she suffers. Look at verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. Now, see how that works? The kid's crying or something's going on. Who gets the kid? Mom, right? And mom says, go take him back to his dad or whatever. But she's there, and they brought him to him. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. And he sat on her knees till noon and then died. So here she was with the child, and the child had a problem, whether it fell down and hurt his head or whatever. She was holding him and caring for him, trying to meet his needs, and the Bible says he died. Now, what does she do? What would she do? What would a mom do in this situation? Well, I want to tell you, the first thing you do when the head starts hurting is really today for us as Christians is to what? What is the first thing you should do? Thank you. Reach out to God. Because God can make your path straight. God can put you in the right place. God can send you to the right doctor or whatever needs to happen. He can do that. Because He knows more than we ever do. I don't know how many mistakes we make, I personally have made, because I did not seek God in the situation first, but I ran off thinking, man, I can solve this problem. And most time, I didn't. But when you seek God, it's amazing how many times I've seen Him just intervene and put us in the right place. So here's this lady. So what does she do? Verse 21 says, "And she went and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." What is she doing here? She's illustrating what we just said. She's doing what she knows to do. She knows there's a man, Elisha, who is the man of God. That means here's a man that can reach out to God and do something. She had faith in God because she saw the man of God. And so what she's going to do is she's going to take off. Now listen to her husband. And here's a man that probably doesn't have much spiritual discernment. He says, in verse 23, and he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today?" Why are you going today? He says, "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." I mean, why are you going to go visit the man of God today? Why? Because she had an urgent need. You see, you don't have to wait till Sunday to confess your sins. You don't have to wait till the new moon. You can confess your sins right away. You can take care of things. You can communicate with God anytime. Not only confess your sins, but you can reach out to God. You can be driving down the road, going to Farmington or wherever, and you can reach God right then and there if you're in the will of God, if you're surrendered to God, if you're following what God has taught you to do. He will be there for you. He will take care of your needs. He will comfort you. He will guide you. He will help you. So the only thing she knew to do was to go seek out the man of God. Now, she didn't know what he could do. She didn't know what was going to happen. But she took off. And so when she took off, verse 24 says, "Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came with the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, It is well with thee." And that's a question. Is it well with thee? "It is well with thy husband. Is it well with thy child?" And she answered, "It is well." Well, see, she didn't need Gehazi at that time. She needed the man of God. Gehazi didn't demonstrate that in her life. She didn't see. And he's just asking her for what? She's just saying, "Yeah, I made it here all right." She's not talking about the situation that's going on back of the house. She's saying, I'm okay, basically. And she's talking to Gehazi. Again, he's not the guy who can give her the answer. So what does she do from there? The Bible teaches us or tells us, verse 27, when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Can you see how desperate she is here? Can you see the need? Can you see what she really wants to happen is she wants this guy to help her? Because this is all she knows. He's a man of God. He's somebody that can do something. See, she didn't grab Gehazi. She ran past him and she went to the man of God. He was on the hill and she's grabbing his feet. Literally. And Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." Saying, "I didn't realize the situation she's in, but now I do. I see that she has a problem." So here we're going to see, not only is this a great woman, not only has she been given a great gift, not only is she struggling here in this situation, but a great miracle is going to take place. And that's what God can do in our lives. That's what God wants to do. He wants to demonstrate His power as we live this life. He didn't put us on this earth to walk step by step and live like everybody else, eat, drink, and be merry, and just carry on. He didn't want us to just huddle up in a little bitty space and say, this is my space and I'm not going to go anywhere else. In fact, he told us to go into all the world. And here we see a miracle that's taken place. You know, God is in the business of miracles. Have you ever been saved? You don't have to answer that, but I want you to know that's a miracle. And that's the first miracle of God you'll experience. But then when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, then he's going to show himself as you continue to grow mighty. You know, Paul is no exception to Christianity. Paul, his example ought to be the normal. But we're far from that. I'm far from that. I'm not like Paul. I'm not willing to let myself be stoned, left for dead, and get up and go preach in the next town. It doesn't take much to dissuade me or discourage me. But Paul, he was a man of God. He wasn't going to be discouraged. He wasn't going to stop preaching the truth and telling others, because he knew it was the power of God that could change a person's life. Just like if this woman knows in her heart that this man can do something special in my life. And so we see as we go on and read, verse 28 says, then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She's basically saying, you gave me a child and now you've taken him away. Why did you do this? Why is this happening? How many times have we come to a situation in our life when we say, God, why are you doing this in my life? Why did you let this happen? Have you ever said that? Sure, we've said that. But God has the answer for that. And we need to look through the prism of God's eyes and His Word to understand that He knows best no matter what happens. No matter what happens, God knows. And we have to trust Him for it. There may be chastening in our life. It might be God just trying to get our attention and help us to go on. He might be refining us. And that's what the Christian life is all about, is refining us. You and I are predestinated before the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And when you got saved, you that foreknowledge that God has, He already knew that. We know that. But we didn't know it. But God does. And He gave us a choice to choose. Now, do I understand all that? No, I don't. But I'm so grateful that the God that knows all things has given me and you the choice to accept Him. And it was by faith. And so what do we got left? It's to live by faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And see, we see that demonstrated in this woman's life. She has faith in this man of God. Elisha comes back. He tells Gehazi, take the cane and go run and put it on the child's face. Lay it on his face. And he says, I'm on my way. I'm coming to. And the woman said, hey, you're not going without me. I'm sticking by you. And he did. And the Bible teaches us that he went up to that room. And the first thing he did was get up off that couch or that bed. Was that what he did? I want to tell you what he did. He prayed. He prayed to God. See, the power was not in Elisha. Elisha was just like you and me. We're human beings. The power is not in us, but it is in God. And that same power Elisha has, we have to perform the things God wants us to. Now, we don't have the opportunity to do the signs and wonders anymore, because that was for the Jews, because they sought after that sign. But we still have the power of God in our lives to call God on God, and He can use those around us to meet the needs that we have. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to have discernment and wisdom to know how God can meet those needs and do those things in our lives. And you know what? If we're, as Christians, are not willing to submit to God in that area, in other words, if God wants to use you and you don't submit to God, well, you might be letting somebody else down, because you might be the tool God's trying to use to help them. or somebody else. So we want to follow what the Scripture says and do exactly as she understood, was go find or seek out God. And that's what she's doing. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And that's what God wants to do in our lives. Don't give up. You know, God always, always, always answers prayer. And there's three ways He answers. One is no. Two is yes. And three is wait. Don't go before God. See, that's what I did with Becky's wallet. I stepped before God. He already knew what was going to happen. He knew that it was there. And I should just wait a little bit longer and gave God the time to do and show Himself mighty. So He's teaching me through my mistakes of jumping ahead of God. And I want you to know something too. Beware. Always beware. Because Satan will always offer his best first. What are you talking about? I'm talking about if you're seeking something, you need something, watch out, because Satan, he will try to give it to you first, and it won't meet the requirements that God has for us. And we will submit to that before we'll trust God and let Him show Himself mighty in our lives. And we can talk about that more, but I've seen it happen in many people's lives, people in this room today. So here He laid on the child, He put His lips on the child's lips, His eyes upon the eyes of the child, His hands upon His hands. And the Bible says the child's flesh became warm. And then He went downstairs and walked around, probably in prayer, I don't know. And He went back and He laid on the child again. And the Bible says the boy sneezed seven times. Now, seven's an interesting number. You can study it out, but it's the number of completion. It's amazing how many times you see it in the Bible. But here He opened His eyes. And that's amazing to me how God can do this. Verse 34 says, "And He went up and lay upon the child, put His mouth upon His mouth, His eyes upon His eyes, and His hands upon His hands. And He stretched Himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then He returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched Himself upon the child." Stretched Himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And He called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So He called her, and when she was come in unto him, He said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Now, we would say maybe in our minds, well, she shouldn't bow to Elisha. Well, I understand that. But again, this is who she knew was the man of God. In her mind, she's reverencing God, even though Elijah happens to be there, because Elijah is standing in and doing the will of God in his life. And through that, he has done a great miracle to this woman. And he has helped her in this situation. And again, we see that God is going to get the glory out of this because she knew there was a God in heaven. Now, it would be nice if this in this passage it said something like, "And she bowed down and worshiped God and praised Him, lifted her hands high on high." That would be great. It doesn't tell us that, but it's implied. Okay? She's not worshiping. I don't believe she's worshiping the man. She's worshiping the God of the man. And that's important because God did the work. Elisha didn't. And I don't think Elisha would ever claim, and one day I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to see Elisha. And I'm going to sit down and talk to him. I'm going to ask him these questions. And I'm going to say, "How did this happen?" Because we don't have all the story. Paul Harvey, he always used to say, and the rest of the story. And it's not all there yet. But when I get to sit down with Elisha, he can tell me. You know, sometimes you think, what are we going to do in heaven? And I'm thinking, well, there's Paul. There's David, there's Elijah, there's Ruth, there's the apostles, Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We got a lot of time to spend with a lot of folks to just find out some things that we didn't know. And we're going to get the rest of the story. This woman was a woman that sought after God, and God blessed her miraculously. And the very same things that happened here can happen in our lives if we're willing to trust God. Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to bend the knee to God and to follow God? To be like this woman, have the discernment and wisdom, have the humility, and also understand that God is greater than we can ever be. You can never outthink God. There's nothing that God doesn't know, and there are a lot of things I don't know. And if we look to Him, He can reveal those things. You know, it's amazing, and I'm going to close, but little things like searching for keys or even when you have an accident or maybe you have surgery or anything like that, anything that goes on in your life, I tell you, if you just seek God first, it's amazing what He can do. I kind of learned this lesson a long time ago, and I haven't been faithful to it all the time, but I remember, and I had to pick on Johnny because this is his day of his child's dedication. But I remember, Johnny, we were at the campground, and this is, I think he might have been 6 or 4, or I don't remember, something like that. And we went with other Christians, and we were there having a good time, spending the night for, I think it's 3 nights or something like that. But anyway, Johnny, he was, you know, like any kid, he likes to try things. And so he took some dirt, and you've heard this before, he threw it way up in the air. And that's always pretty neat, isn't it? But then he looked up because he wanted to see it coming down, I guess. And all of a sudden, his eyes are filled with this sand and dirt. We're up here in the mountains. There's no doctors or nothing there, nothing to do. And we're thinking, oh, wow, this is terrible. And so first thing I did as I prayed, dear Lord, please help us, comfort John, and help us to get. And it wasn't long. We washed him out. He was fine. You say, oh, well, that's just common sense. I'm telling you, that's God doing the work. And as little as it was, it taught me that God is interested in the little things of my life and the little things of every Christian's life. The little things. Because I don't know everything. And God does. This morning, I hope, number one, you put your faith and trust in Jesus. There's been a time when you've accepted Him as your Lord. And number two, I hope that if you have done that, that you are trusting Him for your life today. When you get in the car, when you lay down at night to go to sleep, when you're doing anything at work or wherever, that God is with you. Now, we know the Spirit lives within you, but you can quench the Spirit. We want the Spirit to be quickened in our lives. And that just requires us to communicate with God and stay close to Him. I hope that's true in your life today. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for the grace You give each one of us and the strength and the power, realizing that it doesn't come through our physical abilities. It doesn't come through our intelligence, but it comes through You. Paul said it best, and I don't think he can say it any better, when he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It is the power of God residing in the believer's heart that gives us the ability to function and to live the Christian life. Father, this morning, I hope we all realize that and understand that. If there's anybody lost, I pray they'd come forward this morning and receive Christ. If there's anybody living apart from God right now, they know it. I pray they would come and bow a knee, humble themselves just like this lady did, and ask You to help them, confessing their sins, and asking for the strength to live the Christian life. We thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.